Andromeda's my favourite geek show.
Mate, that came on Sci-Fi Channel the other night.
It's fucking mint. I still watch it on Sci-Fi sometimes, yeah.
It's so fucking campy, though, isn't it?
It's brilliant. It's so good. It's entertaining.
Kevin Sorbo trying to be like an engineer and shit. Mm. Beautiful.
Whatever happened to Kevin Sorbo?
He's just still doing conventions, probably. Wasn't he that one that we went to about 11
years
ago?
Yeah. I mean, for an older man, he's still quite handsome, but he's, you know, like Jean-Claude Van Damme was a beautiful man and now looks like a crude action figure of himself in Poundland.
Yeah.
Kevin Sorbo kind of went that way.
Oh dear.
Still stacked, though. Give you a run for your money.
I doubt that. Wonder what he can deadlift.
I don't know, he's Hercules, isn't he?
Hercules.
I challenged Kevin Sorbo to a deadlifting contest.
I'd fucking pay to see that shit, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. Whoever can lift Bruce Campbell's chin off the ground first wins.
Whoa, wait a minute. Let's not be unrealistic here.
Whoa.
We'll be here till fucking next autumn.
Welcome to Cinematry, your bi-weekly, fortnightly.
Ooh, bi-weekly.
Oh, but yeah, twice a week. Yeah.
Oh, is that twice a week?
No, I'm knackered, yeah.
I'm so tired.
So many horror scenes and remakes. So little time.
If you want to do that, we'll be here for another 6 hours.
Your fortnightly breakdown and digest of all things horror reboots, remakes, and sequels. With me, as standard, is Rob Yeomans.
Standard. You alright, Dave?
Yes. How are you?
I'm alright, mate. How are you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Good, yeah, pretty good. With me as Deluxe is
cheeky
another
bastard.
Yeah, sorry, mate. Okay. Is a star-studded, yellow t-shirted, dad jeans wearing Chris Wilson,
dad
ready
jeans,
to rock
jeans
and roll, hiding a six-pack beneath the bin bag.
Eerie. They're Dean Ambrose jeans.
Shit, I think I've put my stepdad's jeans on.
Have you? Your stepdad's a big lad.
Me too.
Well, it's my turn on the porcelain throne this week.
And speaking of big.
And speaking of porcelain thrones and shit. It is 1998's Godzilla, directed by Roland Emmerich. Yeah, the CGI is better in that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's better in the music video than the film. And also, you know, great tune.
Oh, it's a banger.
It's a banger, mate.
Don't know what it's doing on the Godzilla soundtrack. No.
I love the fact it's, like, playing in the background for about 10 seconds in one scene, and that constitutes...
That does count. Yeah.
Soundtrack. Soundtrack.
Well.
Why did you pick Godzilla? For love of God.
Okay. Reason number one is last time I picked a sequel to a horror film that wasn't a horror film, we did pretty well.
We did, yeah.
We did do that.
Yeah, we did
do all right, didn't we?
I'm so confused by this concept.
I'm so confused by this.
It turns out that the demographic and what the people really want to listen to who search for a podcast about horror sequels and remakes is reviews of films that aren't horror sequels or remakes.
That's right. Are trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Also, Haunted Lamps, Fat does well as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he told me outside.
Told him.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But actually, that's Eleanor's pick.
Yeah.
So
hit maker. Thanks, Eleanor. Thanks, Eleanor.
Got headphones in.
Got headphones in.
There we go.
I'll put her in later.
Dubbing. Overdubbing.
My other reason is that I'm a big fan of the original franchise. I think it goes from stone cold sober, depressing, with kids getting crushed by giant monsters and
ooh,
big
sounds
things.
Good.
Yeah, it's pretty depressing, dude. With, like, analogies of nuclear war and stuff, all the way up to just two Japanese dudes scrapping in suits, accidentally getting set on fire with space aliens and fucking... Yeah, if you've ever seen some of the later ones, it's just people fighting Matrix-style, then there's monsters fighting, people fighting, then the aliens turn out to be giant fish people, and...
Don't have Jamiroquai on the soundtrack, though, do they?
No.
Oh, they got some 41.
Oh, really? What's on? What's on?
It'd
be Fat Lip, right?
No, it won't. It's one of the later ones.
Please let it be in too deep. I mean, that makes sense.
Not that either.
Should have been.
It's really good, though. It's American Godzilla gets summoned to fight Japanese Godzilla.
Yeah.
And he tags him out in 10 seconds.
Nice.
Punches him in midair into the Sydney Opera House and then sets him on fire.
Godzilla, huh? Okay, let me see what you're made of.
They're still doing these films, aren't they? Like Godzilla vs. Kong as well in America. That's happening.
Oh, yeah, that's coming back. Maybe we're going to get something better than that snooze fest with Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, well, the first one's the Mothra one that's coming out soon. There's a trailer for that.
Yep.
Got a kid from Stranger Things in it.
Yep, cashing in on that, aren't they?
Yeah, and then they've got a cheeky poster on the IMDb for that I sent you, and you didn't text me back. All right.
Don't worry, I don't text him back either.
Yeah, fair enough, that's all right. And obviously,
my phone's
there was.
New phone. Who this?
Send nudes.
Sorry, I've lost my. Sorry, I've lost all my contacts. Even though that's nearly impossible. Who's this?
Washed my phone. And obviously, last year there was the first Japanese Godzilla film in like 10 years.
Oh, you were hype about that, weren't you?
It's fucking good, man.
Yeah, man.
Political thriller with a monster in the background.
Done.
And it's pretty terrifying as well.
I would argue that you could do anything with a Godzilla. Basically, you could make any film. You could make Love Actually and just have Godzilla stomping around in the background.
And it would naturally improve it.
Yeah.
I'm still holding out for Rush Hour 4 with Godzilla.
Oh, imagine Bad Boys 3, mate.
That would work.
That's the crossover film we're all waiting for.
I want Harry Potter, but Godzilla.
Yeah.
I don't like Harry Potter fans, they ruin everything.
Oh, that's harsh.
Well, yeah, that's why.
That's harsh, that.
How's your front room looking?
That are fucking full of wands, mate.
Wands. That's like Diagon Alley.
Diagon Alley?
Yeah, Diagon Alley. Oh, it's all bollocks anyway. Fucking J.K. Rowling.
Ooh!
Pushing pronouns out of ours.
Oh my god, I don't know, I wasn't good enough at English to give a shit, to be honest with you.
It doesn't really constitute English.
No, that's true. Anyway, Godzilla.
Godzilla, yes, so it's 1998, it's Roland Emmerich, hot off the heels of Stargate. He's allowed to make anything he wants.
Yeah, hot off the heels of Independence Day, mate.
Sorry, off the heels of Independence Day, yeah, which was hot off the heels of Stargate. He's doing good for himself at this point.
Oh, really controversial take, but both shite. Moving on.
What?! I mean, Stargate, I'll sort of give you, but you can't fucking...
What?
Oh, it's just Kurt Russell playing himself, isn't it? I mean, it's all right, but you can't fucking...
Are you all right?
Independence Day is my second favourite film of the 90s, behind Twister.
I've never seen Twister, so...
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, Twister is fucking amazing, to be fair. But if you don't like fun movies like Independence Day... if you just want to sit there watching Schindler's List, I understand that you've made something even darker and bleaker than black and white in your home in Grimsby Wilson. Am I right in thinking you've got the original negatives?
What, for Schindler's List?
For Schindler's List, and you've actually smeared your own tears on the film?
Yeah.
And made your own version?
I've improved it by 25% by doing that.
Is Werner Herzog approved?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, yes... Roland Emmerich is having a good time in the 90s.
Yeah.
And I think this went through a bit of development hell. I think it had a lot of ad campaigns running up to about 18 months before it was actually due to come out.
Yeah.
And the ad campaigns are fucking ballsy.
I mean, the hype train on this, I mean, I kind of remember this when it came out.
Same. Yeah.
This was like going to be the greatest fucking action romp fest ever.
Mm. Yeah. So far to the point where it said Jurassic Park is... insignificant.
Oh,
Do you remember the advert with the? It's quite a long advert, maybe 90 seconds long, where there's a museum tour going on, and there's like a skeleton of a T-Rex posed exactly like the one at the end of Jurassic Park, yeah. And then just a big Godzilla foot comes through the roof and crushes it.
Nice.
Oof.
Yeah. It vaguely rings a bell, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't escape the promos for this. Like, even like when I was younger, so that would have been, what, 8, 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all knew, like, size does matter.
Yeah, yeah.
And all that shit,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's so fucking over-the-top machismo, assure of itself.
And yeah.
Fuck me.
The film came out.
A baggy 2.5 hours, I think. Was it 2 hours 10?
Baggy. Watched it in 2 parts, this.
Oh, shit.
It was. I mean,
you might as well, because it's 2 different films.
Well, I watched it with Amy.
Yeah.
And at the start, she was like, yeah, I'm up for this. It'll be a laugh.
Yeah.
And then about an hour and 15 minutes in, she's like, I'm really tired. I'm from Leeds. I'm tired.
Just the cat on her lap, just slowly bobbing its head down, is not interested.
The cat was not interested at all. The cat, what the cat likes to do is, at the minute, the cat likes to stand in front of the receiver part of the TV so that you can't actually change anything once it's on.
Fantastic.
So you have to make your correct selection first time.
Otherwise you fucked it.
Otherwise you're watching Emmerdale all night on ITV plus one.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Godzilla in Emmerdale. Imagine that.
Could do anything with it, honestly. Could do an episode of Poirot with Godzilla.
Ooh.
Nice.
Like, who did it?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it you? Or was it you? Like, just this giant foot, like, coming out of a conservatory.
Reggie?
So, film kicks off, possibly in the most Roland Emmerich way possible.
Oh, is this the credit sequence, or is this after credit sequence?
I suppose this is after credit sequence. Do you want to talk about a credit sequence?
Yeah, I really like it.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's nice.
I like a good few nuclear explosions on the credit sequences, generally. Yeah.
It's in spirit with the original concept as well, and it just sets everything up very quickly. Like, yeah, there's a giant dinosaur caused by nuclear fallout. Yeah,
the French.
The French.
Well, at least that, like, sort of puts some kind of reason for Jean Renoir in there.
Yeah.
I just wish someone had told him that reason, because he looks fucking confused as to why he's there.
He was
the entire film.
Remember that film you were in called Leon? Uh-huh. Yeah, just forget about that. Elvis impressions.
How good are you at being repulsed by bad coffee? Because that's all you're going to be doing in this film.
How French can you be?
Yeah.
It's actually Belgian. Something like that.
Is it possible for you to eat a baguette in every scene?
Fucking hell. But yeah, the intro sequence is very nice. It basically says it's a mutated iguana.
Yeah.
Which is quite funny, because everyone thought it looked like an iguana. That's fine, I quite like how it looks. It does blame the French for nuclear testing.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a cop-out, but that's fine. And then we do the most Roland Emmerich thing possible, which is we zap around the planet with text pop-ups.
This is what I noted first.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the first 10 minutes of this film, we go to Chernobyl.
Yep.
We've got the Japanese sub.
Yep.
Tahiti.
Yep.
We have got Panama. We've got Jamaica. And then we get over to New York for the action.
I'm going to sue Roland Emmerich for Whiplash.
Yep. Yeah.
Oof.
Now, we talked about the travel logistics of The Mummy Returns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, frequent flyer miles for Broderick in the first 10 minutes of this film.
Yeah.
Fucking... sorted, didn't he?
He's got jet lag, clearly. It explains his bizarre acting.
Yeah.
It does a bit.
There's something very sort of retired about when he comes across. But that is my Emmerich cliche number one.
Yeah, 100%.
If you've seen Independence Day 2, it's a whole new level.
Oh, yeah.
The first 15 minutes is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen so much.
Fucking hell,
like whizzing and toing and throwing. And
Africa? What happened in Africa? And we're in Africa.
Oh, this reminds me of something that happened in Asia.
I mean, like that time I got Chinese food.
Independence Day 2 is definitely, although, you know, me and you both enjoyed it in a sort of like, if you see a car crash, you can't help but look kind of way. Like, it is definitely the most unnecessary sequel ever made, I think.
Absolutely.
It's just like, fucking hell.
I wish we could talk about Independence Day too.
We can't though. We're getting complaints.
I know we can't. If you want to do it, you better do it now.
It's not as bad as genocide, is it? Can we get it in context?
Yeah, yeah.
It's about as good as the original. Moving on.
Do you want to take this?
I've got no time for people that don't acknowledge they had a childhood.
Yeah, well, that's it, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have fun. I just want to watch Blue Velvet over and over again, which is also overrated.
I had a pack of sealed Independence Day Top Trumps cards for you, Wilson. But you're not going to get them now. And there's a foil one in each packet, but you fucked it. I got some Schindler's List stickers for your Schindler's List sticker album, though.
I know what you're getting for your birthday. I'm going to get you an Independence Day poster. There you go.
I've lost my train of thought now.
We're globetrotting,
so...
We are globetrotting.
Yeah. So with that fucking doc, Matthew Broderick, in Chernobyl, they start this, like, running joke where his name is... What is his actual last name? I didn't actually narrow it down.
Tsitopoulos.
And
he's named after the art director.
Right. And but they keep calling him, like, Slopopoulos or Wopopoulos.
Tetopoulos.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're, like, correcting him.
It's Tetopoulos. Yeah, right.
Yeah. And that's literally, like, half his character motivation. Yeah, in this old fucking film is for him to get someone to get his surname right.
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
Yep.
This is going to be fun.
Roland Emmerich cliche number two is your main character is a hapless geek who's going to sneeze and whine and look silly next to all the hard military men.
Yeah.
That end scenes by saying something decisive. My work here isn't done. It is now. I've not finished my noodles. You have now.
Yeah, a permit. Damn, I didn't say permit. I have a permit.
Dr. Nico Tapopoulos.
It's Tetopoulos.
Kyle Terrington. I'm with the U.S. State Department.
What are they doing?
You're being reassigned.
But my work here isn't finished.
It is now.
I take radioactive samples and I study them.
That's great. Here's your sample. Study it.
What sample? You're standing in it.
It's so Roland Emmerich, this film. I do apologise.
No, it's almost a bit too Roland Emmerich, if anything. You know?
Yeah. So he's basically pulled away from his research. He's researching how nuclear radiation can affect the growth of basically animals and how these earthworms that he's studying are like 70% larger or something.
Yep.
Maybe that'll tie into something further down the line, I'm not sure.
Well, just a load of running jokes about how all he knows is how to handle earthworms and yet he's supposed to sort out this giant iguana.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Emmerich logic fail number one, is that... All the military dudes take the piss out of him and like, ooh, fucking earthworm guy. Why the fuck is anyone asking him anything? Hang on, you're the motherfuckers who flew to Chernobyl to go get the earthworm guy. What are you talking about?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I believe they take him over to Tahiti.
That's right,
to study a sample of what will be revealed to be Godzilla. And the sequence is ended by a military man saying, "Where's my sample? You're standing in it." I'm seeing a pattern here.
Yeah. Mm. And also, how did he get into it in the first place? You know, like when they're walking down to the sample, he's like, oh, it's a big fucking drop here. This is weird.
Yeah.
Didn't you not pick up on that, Matthew Broderick? Or did he just like fucking Star Trek style just apparate into it?
Yeah, yeah. Or Han Solo going over Jabba's tail.
Yeah. Mind you, I think that's how Roland Emmerich thinks people travel in his films, if they're fucking clocking up these miles.
Just Santa sleigh turns up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Already better than the 2014 one, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Because something's actually happened.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife!
Yeah. So we meet Jean Reno here, don't we, as well, in this little world tour?
Yes, we do, yeah.
Who plays Jean Reno?
Who's an insurance guy for the military, and it's not a military vessel. He just kind of introduces himself for the sake of introducing himself for the plot.
It's like a thin disguise for the fact that he's French Secret Service, isn't it? It's like, yes, I examine ships that have had giant holes gouged in them.
Yes, by bad guy shades on.
By big iguanas.
Shit. Yeah, and then we go to... we go to a couple of fishing boats that Godzilla decides to have some top bants and just, just pull them under for the sake of it. It's fucking tight, that.
Bantasaurus Rex.
Oh! Yeah, it's a nice little scene. Yeah, yeah, it's nice and savage. It is a callback to the original, yeah. I guess. And it's quite good at hiding the monster for a very long time. You don't see him fill the screen until about half an hour in, which is great.
But again, like, unlike the 2014 version, you actually feel like he's there, whereas, like, the 2014 version is more like an existential threat more than anything.
Well, it's the Cloverfield monster's trying to have sex.
Yeah, basically.
And then Godzilla turns up at the end.
Yeah. Whereas here, at least in all fairness, you feel like it's building up towards something, like you're going to see him very quickly and it's all going to be very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Then we was off straight to New York.
Oh, sorry, no, it's the city that never sleeps.
Yeah, I was just...
The official name is never given, thank you.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So Roland Emmerich decides that not having fucked New York enough in his previous film...
Absolutely.
He's going to go back for another bite of the apple, eh?
Yeah.
The big apple.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's all good anyway, isn't it? I mean, I think in itself that's a cliche moment. Right.
Yeah, I think
fuck it,
is.
Where shall we set it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, New York, gotta be on it.
Yeah. It does absolutely tick my 90s nostalgia box for movies set in New York.
Yeah.
Where New York itself is a character.
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe at least one point in this film there is a transition using a subway train.
Yeah.
Mm. And it rains a lot. And it's all about the yellow cabs.
Yep.
So I'm kind of on board with his setting and his location.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely fine with it. It feels 90s enough.
He's reusing it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Reuse, recycle. then we get the what's always been one of my favourite little scenes of this film, which is the old dude fishing.
It's a quality scene.
Fucking
that was used
brilliant.
In the marketing as well.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
Some of his expressions are brilliant. Absolutely top end.
Yeah.
Basically, oh, fuck. I mean, it starts running out. I just love how... That is running and he does survive, but like the harbour, like bit by bit, like boom, boom,
yeah,
boom.
Yeah, yeah, just the boards coming up behind him.
Yeah,
it's really nicely done.
Hey, Joe, gonna catch one of the little fish in the East River?
I hope so, but you never know. I mean, today could be my lucky day.
The only thing you don't want to catch is a cold.
Hey! I got a bite!
Boy, do I have a bite!
Ah. Hold on, Joe. You got a big one, baby. Hold on to it now.
You want
to
fight?
Is this the debut of the bad... No, it's not quite the debut of the bad CGI, is it?
You get a CGI foot going overhead, it doesn't look particularly great.
Yeah.
No, not really.
Now, say what you will about Independence Day, Wilson, but...
It's shit, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, you know... Anyway, the effects for the time in Independence Day were very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Dated a little bit now, but this is 2 years after Independence Day. And the effects are significantly worse.
Well, Independence Day, a lot of it is models.
Yeah.
And matte backgrounds.
Yeah, yeah.
And compositing. And the compositing technology, by that point, was fucking bang on.
Yeah.
It looked really good. And this is obviously a big switch to CGI.
Yeah.
I'm told, in fairness, the 4K Blu-ray release, which came out a couple of years ago, has actually sorted it.
Has it?
Apparently so. Apparently they weren't exported properly originally.
Oh, right. Okay.
And now that they've redone it and they've regraded it, it supposedly sits a lot better. Because it does feel like it's just popping out of the screen.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
In a bad way, like it was meant to be 3D or something.
Yeah.
Supposedly they've sorted it, but for obviously our experience, it is janky as shit.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Really fucking bad.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit where the mayor, the knobhead mayor, we're introducing the knobhead mayor, and he's giving a speech.
Has he fucked up the dock at this point?
Yeah, he's just come through the dock. He's done that.
So if I can just real quickly do Roland Emmerich cliche number 7.
Gosh, can you?
Man in vehicle with headphones on, oblivious to things going on behind him before he gets fucked up.
Yes.
Every film has that. Moving on. Yeah.
There's a nice little moment here, which has been copied quite a few times since, where it's pissing with rain and the man's giving a speech, and there's like the footsteps and the things being heard in the distance, and there's just people like putting their umbrellas down like a couple at a time. I thought that was quite nice.
Yeah,
it's a lovely sequence with the sound stage is obviously on. Pneumatics and stuff is moving up and down. That stuff is really nice.
Yeah,
it had some nice scale to it.
Yeah.
If we're on to Mayor, did you notice what it was called?
Yeah.
Mayor Ebert.
Yeah.
And his assistant
Gene Siskel.
I think he's just called Gene.
And later on, we get Colonel Hicks.
And Ebert at one point gives 2 thumbs up.
He does,
I hate that shit.
So invasion would. As far as I'm aware, Roger Ebert named Stargate one of the worst films.
He called it the worst film of 1994.
I think he had it listed as one of the worst films he ever watched, on a list as well. So. This is one way to respond.
Yeah.
I wonder if he was impressed by that sort of thing.
I believe in his review of it, he said, "That's funny, but your movie still sucks," and gave it 2 thumbs down. And he said, "I would have given you an up, but you didn't kill me and Gene off." I was expecting to get crushed.
Brilliant. So, Godzilla very quickly arrives in Manhattan, as we said, and as he's wrecking shit up, we go to the newsroom. One little bit we didn't catch earlier on is was introduced to Audrey. So that's Matthew Broderick's bit on the side.
She's a bitch.
She's a right drip, isn't she?
Yeah. Just an unpleasant fucking character that you're supposed to identify with.
Yeah. You know. And in the first scene, she's trying to get a big break in being a broadcast journalist, and she's talking to Harry Shearer, and he's having none of it. And then back at the newsroom, Godzilla's wrecking shit. And first of all, hello to Barney the dinosaur on the TV.
You gotta love little references like that. It didn't work in Jurassic Park 3. It ruined one of the only good sequences in it.
I haven't.
Jurassic Park 3 is better than Jurassic Park 2. There, I said it. There's my spicy take for you.
This is getting a bit nasty.
I know.
I'm afraid we're going to have to carry on.
This is very mean spirited now. And Godzilla walks past. And this is a weird thing I picked up because obviously I'm a big fan of The Simpsons. But
I thought you'd pick this up.
Yeah. So you got fucking Bart Simpson as the receptionist making a cameo.
Yeah.
Got her, you got Lee Harry Shearer, and then later on you got Hank Azaria as well. Yeah.
Who even quote? He does his Mo voice at one point.
So, I mean, I'll bring this up now, but, the casting of his film's a bit weird, isn't it? For a major big blockbuster.
Yeah. There's no star name here.
There's not. Who he has cast, they're very. I don't know. I mean, obviously, Broderick, as we'll find out over the course of the film, is a very weak choice.
He's a fucking wet sock. Him and his missus. Jesus. Actually, no, Jean Reno.
He's okay. But
he's playing himself, isn't he?
He's playing himself, and he could only ever be a secondary character. He wasn't going to be, first star.
I think this is Roland Emmerich getting cocky because he pulled Will Smith off of TV. He'd done Bad Boys, so he was already sort of on his way up, but Independence Day was kind of the film that made Will Smith a megastar.
So now he's trying to get The Simpsons cancelled as well. with Godzilla.
I wish someone had fucking cancelled The Simpsons. Jesus.
While Bart Simpson is looking shocked in the office, Moses has got a camera and he's going to chase it around. Godzilla walks in direction and he sort of gets frozen in the spot. It looks Godzilla steps on him, but somehow the foot comes up and he's survived. Now, the only thing I can think is, did he step between 2 taxis and somehow the levels
I'm assuming he was between the toes.
He was between the toes.
Yeah.
From the angle you got, you just could not make out how he'd survived whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah.
They should have maybe clarified it by having a shot of him, like, literally between, like, the two-toe prints.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he does escape from that is a little bit contrived.
It's extremely contrived. I'm not even sorry, listeners, for that one.
Sorry.
Big fan of the videotape fumble, though. That is quality, where he's trying to jam it in and get the shot, and then he just... junk done with a gentle touch, like it. That is cute.
Yeah.
And I think that's the bit where he does his Mo voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then immediately after that, it's decided that it's time to evacuate Manhattan because some bad shit's going down. Yes. The mayor is not happy about this because it's an election year.
Two thumbs down.
Yeah, two thumbs down.
Yep.
I mean, it's so inconsequential, all of these characters, really.
Mm.
I mean, the thing is, all everyone wanted to see in the promotion of this is Godzilla fucking smash some shit up.
Yeah. You don't care about any of these people.
No, literally.
And instead we get Roland Emmerich cliche number 14, which is a load of people in power yelling at each other.
Yeah.
So you got the mayor and you got the military just like yelling, like, do this, no, why?
Yeah, yeah. I think we should shoot him. Yeah, you just burned down a Chrysler building.
I mean,
that was fucking funny, that, though, wasn't it?
The fact that the military are completely so wonderfully inept.
Yeah,
and just keep getting fucked up by a big lizard in a city.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, this is, like, one of the strongest examples of inept military I've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, and it is played for laughs, and the fact that it happens three, maybe four times before the film turns into Jurassic Park shows that it doesn't really know what to do with itself.
No, not really. And there's also, like, weird things, like, I didn't know the mayor of New York, or not New York, sorry, had jurisdiction over military. Like, how come he's...
No.
Yeah, but how come he's trying to give direction to him? I think he, like, gives him a few commands at some point, like...
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Did they forget to cast, like, the Jean Reno version of for the American army, you know?
It's very strange, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've completely forgotten what Matthew Broderick's doing at this point. Is he fucking around like a wet sock somewhere?
Yeah, he is. He's faffing on.
Yeah.
He's faffing on. He's got a plan, hasn't he? He suddenly just decides it's a good idea if they get a fucking shitload of fish.
Fucking hell.
Oh, yeah, because it likes fish bowl.
Yeah.
He's such a fucking dork, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like... I'm sort of like, at this point, I'm like, right, this is pretty shit, but I'm just going to ride it out, because it's always been shit, I'm fine with it.
Mm.
And then I completely forgot about the fucking instant camera scene.
When Godzilla's posing for a shot.
Yeah. I was literally like, what the fuck? The Matthew Broderick's getting right in there, and then they do this, like, fucking naff shit where they're making some kind of, like, contact connection, which is why he's not eating Matthew Broderick, despite the fact that he's an annoying little shit with his fucking Max Spielman fucking disposable camera. His fucking snappy snaps camera with a flash on. Ridiculous.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's like the same thing he did when he was looking after the earthworms.
He had good contact with the earthworms, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, it was at this point, I'd like to say, in the New York premiere, the original character actor who was inside the Godzilla suit got up with his walking stick and walked out and was angrily shouting in Japanese, "This isn't fucking Godzilla, tuna-eating piece of shit." Just stomped out, promptly followed by his daughter with a coat under her arm.
Yeah.
He was not impressed.
I can't imagine so, you know. Get a load of fish. And it was quite a lot of fish, and here he comes, like, nom, 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 nom.
And it's posing for a camera.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, the score for this film is absolutely lovely.
Mm. It sounds a lot like the Independence Day score.
It does sound a lot like the Independence Day score, which is just the Stargate score without the Egyptian scales in it, basically. It is lovely music, to be honest, and I'm quite a big fan of the soundtrack.
Obviously,
it's got a bit of the old... totally inconsistent, obviously.
Fucking good tune, though.
Good tune, though, but yeah, point that out at this point.
Yep.
Nice music, and kind of... It does riff on Spielberg a lot.
Yeah,
especially in this scene when it kind of like goes, "Oh, I want my full body back. You like the worms? I love you, and then kind of like just walks over him and eats the fish, and it's so Jurassic Park at this point.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
Considering the ad campaign was like, fuck Jurassic Park. Big boys time now. Yeah. It takes so much from it, especially when we get to third act territory.
Me. Yeah, so the military response, though, to Matthew Broderick taking a picture of Godzilla seems to be, fuck it, let's just shoot it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That goes well, doesn't it, Wilson?
Not really.
Not really, no.
Just that first rocket blast, completely missing it, and just hitting a building next to him.
Yeah.
It's comedy genius.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say the whole military operation here to take down Godzilla is just, well...
It tanks, doesn't it, Willie?
Yeah.
Oh!
I mean, it is fucking Benny Hill, isn't it? It literally is Benny Hill. It's like the two Ronnies in charge of fucking military. Yeah, it's just like...
Or like Blackadder Goes Forth or something.
It fucking is, yeah. No, it's exactly like Blackadder Goes Forth. Fucking hell.
So we've got the eight helicopters like chasing it and like firing rockets. And at this point, I've got Emmerich cliche number 23, which is, for some reason, with Roland Emmerich, he can like do very fast-paced dialogue scenes. But his action is so sluggish.
Yeah.
It is an absolute... I mean, every single action sequence of his film is such a chore to get through because...
It feels like it's in slow motion.
It does, yeah. It's really...
I get that they're trying to represent a massive, weighty creature.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you've got, like, four Apache choppers weaving through buildings and firing rockets. Like, what the fuck?
There needs to be far more close-ups and far more frenetic editing going on than just like slow, like
cut to a dude in the cockpit saying some military jargon.
Yeah.
My favourite bit of this
slowly switch over to be another guy.
My favourite bit of sequence, just because this is sort of Roland Emmerich cliche number 37, is introducing something just off the cuff without establishing it or indeed referring to it ever again. In this case, Godzilla breathing fire.
So
I mean that is canon, right? I understand that.
So he got a dossier from the creators that had a tick box that said he had to do certain things.
Right.
Namely, Godzilla can't die at the end.
Right.
Which they got around, we'll explain that later.
Yeah.
But one of them was that it had to breathe fire. But this document is real, real picky. Like, it needs to have three toes on each foot, needs to have opposable thumbs, needs to be such and such, such and such, it needs to do this at this point. And one of them was that it had to breathe fire.
Yeah, but you can work that in, do you know what I mean? Like, you got that dossier in prep.
Yeah.
You know you've got to do it.
Technically, it doesn't breathe fire in this film. It does a roar, which sets some petrol on fire.
Sort of breathes fire.
And then it blows the fire. That's the official explanation. That's how he ticked that box.
I wonder why they avoided him breathing fire.
Because that is unrealistic.
No, you're right. I mean, the rest of it is like fucking... It's almost documentary style, isn't
it? It is, isn't it, Willie?
Yeah. Yeah. Where were you when the giant iguana invaded New York? You know, it definitely happened.
Absolutely, yeah. Basically documentary, yeah. So that's why that bizarrely ambiguous thing is there. Yeah.
And this is the point where they accidentally destroy the fucking Chrysler building.
Which is fucking funny.
Which is like, it's the guy's reaction. Where he's like, he's like, oh, damn.
Oh, no.
I ain't gonna be in Godzilla 2. Spaghettios.
Doesn't he blow it up and he says, negative contact, sir?
Yeah. Don't crash the building.
Negative contact. That's the goddamn crash the building.
Hold on, sir. Target is locked on. Fire the damn mission. Echo 1-4. Fire at will. Fire sidewinders.
Negative impact, sir.
Negative impact? That's the goddamn Chrysler building we're talking about here.
You told me he had it locked on.
Echo 1, we had you locked on.
The heat seekers can't lock, sir. He's colder than the buildings around him.
Yeah. It's like, it's just like...
comedy.
The mayor is just another example of, like, Emmerich pinching from better films. Like, right, I'm going to dial up the mayor from Jaws to 37.
And have him played by a Danny DeVito lookalike.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, moving on from there, that fucking dork, Matthew Broderick.
I was going to say, what's Matthew Broderick doing?
He's now taking samples that he found of Godzilla, some sort of snot residue or something, I don't know. The logical thing he thinks next is, I'll go buy a load of pregnancy kits.
Because the pharmacy's going to be open, isn't it?
While he's doing that shit, though, like... he has a conversation with the ginger scientist woman who kind of fancies him.
Mm-hmm.
And that
goes nowhere, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, that goes nowhere, but like it's basically set up that he has a woman that he's in love with, and it's that fucking annoying bitch. But he's still got her pictures, even though she's presumably pied him years ago. Who the fuck still has a picture stuck up of some woman that binged years ago?
And also, he gets a military little tent set up in New York, doesn't he? And he's had time to put the pictures up fresh.
Yeah. we establish in this scene in the pharmacy, actually, you know, it's been 8 years, I think.
Yeah.
And he's still got pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But it is funny because he's buying pregnancy tests and she walks in to see him buying pregnancy tests.
Why? Does she think that he's pregnant?
Well, it's just funny, isn't it? Because, like, he's buying pregnancy tests to check if Godzilla's pregnant and she happens to walk in and see him for the first time in 8 years and he's buying 10 pregnancy tests.
Oh, there's a confusing thing where she thinks he's somehow moved on in the last 8 years.
That makes
sense.
Roland Emmerich is very funny.
Comedy! Yeah. And then she goes back to his tent, doesn't she, for a little chit-chat.
Yeah, not rummage, sorry.
No rummage, you mean it was a cracking rummage.
Calm your silos.
She rummages through his top secret tapes, doesn't she?
Yep.
Like the bitch she is.
Please do not misuse the word rummage.
Sorry.
She searches. Secret military tapes. And obviously finds the tape. Earlier on, there's an interview with a scared Japanese man staring at a lighter.
Gojira.
Saying Gojira.
Gojira.
Which doesn't really mean anything to anyone.
Nope.
Yeah.
But apparently it's important to her.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
so she's fucked him over.
Yeah, she's, what a fucking bitch. Like, she's such a bitch, this character, and you're supposed to identify with her.
Yeah, fuck her, man.
She's a knob.
She's an opportunist trying to improve her career.
She's a single, powerful woman.
Yeah. Who don't need no man, apart from that man who's a bit of a wet fish.
Yes, and size does matter.
Yeah.
You all right, Rob?
Yeah, fine, mate. Top of the world.
Yeah.
Absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. So he gets fucked over by his ex again. Yeah. She puts everything on the news to try and get ahead in her career.
Mm. Yeah, she tries to put it out herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she gets absolutely cock-blocked by by old Harry Shearer.
Yeah.
So there she's in her bar getting all excited that...
Yeah.
She gets to share this apocalyptic news of this giant iguana destroying New York, but no, that bastard took it from her.
Mm-hmm. And
that's her career, damn it. It's much more important than the lives of millions of people.
All them peoples.
Yeah.
All them
peoples. But yeah, and
she's fucking a go-getter.
And then to make things worse, she completely failed in getting ahead of it in a job, and now she's got fucking Matthew Broderick fired by the army.
Yeah.
At this point, he delivers the most incredibly poor performance I have seen from a human being in a film.
Yeah.
Clip.
And it's Gojira, you moron! A direct path can be traced from Manhattan to French Polynesia, where nuclear tests have been going on for more than two decades. Research team member Dr. Nick Papadopoulos believes the creature may be nesting, using Manhattan as ground zero to cultivate the species. This despite the fact that the combined might of the United States military has been unable to subdue...
You went to the press with this?
No. No, I haven't talked to anyone.
They mentioned you by name.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gave them the tape?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't give them the tape. No, it's in my tent right now. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, she took it.
Pack your stuff, mister. You're officially off this project as of now.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, she took it. Yeah.
Hello, I am Matthew Broderick. I am a flannel.
It's like a bunch of really hard military men asked who used all the aftershave or who spilt the shampoo in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he's just such a fucking flannel.
Yeah.
Can you explain this? No, no, no. It's just fake shock.
Yeah, it is, yeah. And then we cut away from him and he fucks off.
Yeah.
And then we get a scene in, I think it's in a diner or something with Hank Azaria and the bitch ex-girlfriend. And what's on the telly? Fucking bit of Deeper Underground by Jamiroquai, mate.
Oh.
Willy, willy, willy.
Walking on chairs, I remember this bit of the music video.
It is sick, this though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's unreal. Really, he should have played the Broderick role.
In the hat.
Yeah, in the hat. Twat in the hat.
Better be just a twat.
Oh, shit.
There's more action happening here than most of this film.
Yeah. I mean, this guy's dancing on chairs. What did that dork Matthew Broderick ever do?
Okay, Jamiroquai, you're playing Matthew Broderick's role, but you are contractually obligated to constantly move your legs whilst you're on screen. You have to constantly dance. Yes.
Could have turned it into a musical.
Oh, shit, Godzilla musical.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Copyright.
Yeah. Done. Dave, can I have a sprig of your exotic mango Diet Coke?
You may.
Oh, thank you. I just need a little bit of a... beverage boost.
I brought that back from my trip to Tahiti. Went via Russia on the way.
Oh, yeah, the logical route.
Yeah, yeah.
Why are you all drinking my cliche moment of the week, if I'm not already? Are you alright, everyone?
Why are you all being fucking cunts?
Just that segue.
Why are you all being fucking unprofessional?
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever gone through... business. I don't think we've ever been through a blockbuster where someone doesn't get kicked off a case that we're working on. You know,
yeah.
You know, they don't just stay in the same organisation all the way through. They must get fired or quit or be sacked at some point. You know,
happens in Independence Day, I think. No.
Wilson's favourite film of all time, which is just established today.
It's no Truman Show. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, we know it's not.
But then again, what is?
Yeah. So the next sort of 15 minutes of this film, a fucking turgid shite
compared to the rest.
Well, yeah. Yeah, because it's just Matthew Broderick looking like he's just fucking lost his Yorkshire Terrier and he's trying to find it.
Jean Reno drinking coffee in a dank fucking grim apartment.
Yeah, and whinging about it. And then the bitch girl fucking crying in what looks like a university dorm room inexplicably.
Because she's been a dick.
On Mo from The Simpsons. Mm. Who just wants to fucking go back to doing voice work at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well... yeah, so we have Matthew Broderick being taken, well, kidnapped, well, not really, by the taxi driver, Jean Reno, taken to the secret French military base. And a nice little one line about, where do you get all the guns from? Like, well, it's America.
Yeah, fair play.
Yeah, fair play.
This is America.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we have some bloody awful acting by Audrey in her bedroom, looking at that news report again from Harry Shearer.
Yeah, yeah.
And her version of being angry is going,
Who is she? Has she ever been in anything since this?
I think so, but...
fucking hell.
I've not seen it.
Maybe a shitcom or two, but apart from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, her acting range in this scene consists of... picking something up in her hands and then dropping it back down in her lap when she cries again.
She was in three episodes of NCIS in 2007.
Oh, whoop-de-fucking-do.
I mean, I just made that up, but
it sounds
right. She's
the wife of a dead marine in each one, is she?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, she sounds like a crying puppy, and the puppy's crying because it's been denied her treat. And now it's just going...
Yeah. Ugh.
Awful. No, this is like a $140 million blockbuster, and this is the best it could find.
Fucking expensive film, this. Yeah, yeah.
It is, yeah. Well, it... probably be up there as like one of the bigger budgeted films ever.
Yeah,
it could come out in 98, and yeah,
counting for inflation,
but,
yeah.
But yeah, this is, I know a lot of money would have gone on these special effects and such, but is this the best you could get?
Yeah,
I mean, basically, what they've done is, you're absolutely right, they've spunked a lot on special effects, but they've done it before they've cast the fucker. So then they're like, right, okay, what can we afford? We'd quite like Will Smith again. Oh, no.
If you factor in who is. You know, he's top billed cast star in the previous two features. This is a fucking swift decline.
It fucking is.
This is ridiculous.
Kurt Russell, this is not.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Just having a little mooch here. The budget for this film in 1998, well, it was released in 1998, so it'll have been shot in 1997.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Was between, and we don't know the exact figure, presumably because no one wants to admit to it.
And will this include marketing?
Probably won't know, probably the shooting budget.
Yep.
According to Font of All Knowledge Wikipedia, is between $130 and $150 million
in before marketing, yeah.
Before marketing.
Yeah.
It made $379 million, so it probably just about made a profit.
So you're looking at another $25 million for the marketing? Because the marketing was... actually probably more than that.
Yeah, plus, easily.
Yeah, because it's got independently made short films, essentially. Like 90 seconds with their own CGI elements and shit. Man.
Now, one thing I would like to talk about quickly is the cast of characters sort of come together on a mission to find Godzilla now. Mm,
yeah, because she's pregnant.
Yeah, because she's pregnant. So they go deeper underground...
Sorry, Wilson. Beats his line.
Yeah.
Wilson.
You fucker.
Sorry. That's like my one joke I had on episode.
I'm sorry, Wilson.
God damn it.
Sorry, Wilson, what do they do next? Let's just pretend that didn't happen.
They went deep underground.
That was brilliant. I thought that was brilliant.
I promise to edit around that so you don't look like a fool.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a story to tell about this.
Oh.
I like a rubble. Yeah,
the set where they're underground, where the all the rubble and stuff, and there's the train carriage.
Yeah, yeah.
Been there.
Are you a fan?
Yeah, mate.
What was that?
I went on a studio tour of college 2006 to LA, and it was still there, mate. It was part of the studio tour.
Is this the one where you saw the police cars going up and down and people wet in the street?
Yes, mate.
And you thought they were filming a Spider-Man film or something?
Yeah, and it turns out it was an episode of Without a Trace.
Oh, that's
not quite the same.
Not really.
No, yeah, so that's my story, really.
Is it an impressive looking set? I mean, it looks impressive on screen, but
looks pretty pony, to be honest.
Oh,
pretty fake.
Shit. Oh no!
But you know, that was like, you know,
eight years
after the film was released.
Okay, a bit dusty.
So that bit dusty. Yeah, one as bad as the Jaws bit, which is really poor, and that's been replaced, I think, now.
Yeah, yeah.
Or updated.
Oh, dear.
So yeah, so everyone basically fucks around underground for a bit, don't they?
They do, yeah.
Find a load of dead fish, all right?
Yeah, sort of. There's a bit of a trail going on, so we find it, and we sort of get like a first full shot of Godzilla, if I remember rightly. I mean, it's a bit still obscured by darkness, probably dumb to hide the CGI, like being rough around the edges.
Mm-hmm.
And all this does after going deep underground. Is Godzilla ends up back in the city again, running around. So they've gone back, they've gone down and they've come back up again.
Yeah.
Bit redundant, isn't it?
Do you know what Godzilla's done there? He's done the exact fucking same thing as Christopher Lee does in that Dracula film.
Yeah.
He's just deliberately gone through one fucking door only to come out of another one.
Yeah.
And sort of a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peek-a-boo!
Yeah.
Wah! Wah, dickhead.
So, but this time, there's more fire, there's more guns, there's more attempting to kill the fucker. But this time, they try and... Well, they lead it into the sea, where the nuclear submarines can have a go at it.
Yep.
And, well, I mean, this is a bugbear of mine anyway, but underwater action scenes, they weren't good in Thunderball, they're still not good 30 years later.
Thunderball? You're in a Bond film, Thunderball?
Yeah.
Fucking, that is a left-of-field reference, but I've got a lot of time for it.
Thank you.
A lot of time for it.
I mean, I thought Crimson Tide was quite good.
No, I mean, just the whole, like, going underwater, like, everything's slow and sluggish. You've got to go
I suppose so, yeah. Water. Submarines moving, isn't it?
Yeah, so just avoid water when
you're
doing
Deep Blue Sea? That had some good underwater action sequences. Yeah,
fair. Is that before or after this?
That's way after this.
Oh, is it? Right.
Yeah. Doesn't count.
Okay, sorry. It's got a bit awkward now, isn't it?
He's right, though. It is pretty...
No, yeah, it's pretty tortured shit.
With a lot of cocksure military men saying they can sort it out, no problem. Yeah.
Doesn't one submarine accidentally blow the other one up or something stupid? I can't remember.
I'm just trying to remember. I think there's three of them. One hits the other well. Whereas one of them does hit... Godzilla directly and its corpse floats away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Finn.
Turds and popcorn, lad.
I mean, if only it was Finn. Because it's all fucking downhill from here, isn't it?
Sorry, yeah, I forgot the Jurassic Park coming up, isn't it?
Yeah. So we get what I can only shudder to think must have been a very long, painful, difficult, financially very expensive negotiation to have Madison Square Garden so heavily featured.
I mean, and I can't believe it, you know, the whole infrastructure is destroyed, which means Royal Rumble 2000 and WrestleMania 20 are now cancelled.
Yeah. Oh, nightmare. I was hyped for that street fight, man.
Bruno Sammartino did not sell out that arena 53,000 times in a row for some fucking big old lizard to fuck it up, did he?
Some gender-neutral lizard, Rob.
Yeah, well, Bruno probably wouldn't like that either. No, I'm making assumptions about his character there.
I also spotted a nice TNC logo. That's something back. Do we still unite show?
Yeah.
Friday nights after Cartoon Network really finished.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
So I believe at this point, Matthew Broderick is trying to assure the military that Godzilla is laying eggs.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they should probably get on that.
Mm.
But he's going to sort it out with his weird French mates.
Mm.
Yeah.
And just to point out, like, this Godzilla is dead. It is actually dead. It's not going to suddenly come back.
No.
It's a miracle. It is done. It's broken one of the rules for Japanese producers laid out for them.
Absolutely, it's dead.
Yeah.
Dead. Everybody's dead, Dave.
Yeah.
But there's eggs somewhere, maybe.
There is.
Yeah. Dead as fuck. There's eggs. In MSG. Which I suppose there's a bit of irony in there, isn't there?
Is it?
MSG, isn't that like some weird food thing? Monosodium glutamate or something.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's basically genetically modified, isn't it?
It's too late of a night for some of
us. Yeah. It is, though.
There is a joke there. I will put some canned laughter in.
Yeah, it'd be fine. Put some canned laughter in. It's all good.
Insert here. So the exact and, well, it's time for Jurassic Park, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's basically Jurassic Park from this point, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, one thing I will say, the CGI of them looks okay, actually.
Considering the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And considering how much it shows them, they're okay.
Yeah.
What isn't okay is the fucking puppets. Oh, shit.
It's only a puppet.
You know them fucking and puppet Godzillas that came out as merchandise for this?
Yeah.
I feel like that's what they were.
Yeah.
It's a sock puppet.
Yeah.
Bar.
They're fucking terrible. They can just go and like wiggle their heads and make baby noises. But you know, the Jurassic Park kitchen scene, this is absolutely not. And it is trying to be that.
No, it is trying to be that.
Yeah.
And like, there's that really fucking naff thing where they lock themselves in the room and somehow get on air because they talk some dude in a truck into putting them on air, even though they wouldn't really be able to communicate with them because they're trapped. And then they go down like, we don't care what happens to us, but you must blow up Madison Square Gardens. Vince McMahon in the background, fucking furious. It's just like...
just strutting down the ramp, breaks both quads.
Don't worry.
You're fired! Yeah.
Just get Austin to do a running and fucking stun the lot of them. It's fine, there's no need for explosions.
comedy moment of the week for me. Baby Godzilla's falling over gumballs and basketballs.
Oh, this bit got really fucking Home Alone.
Yeah, and then they're like eating popcorn and stuff when there's popcorn everywhere. I can't remember that's before or after that.
Just all goes wrong.
Fucking comedy hijinks, nonsense.
Yeah. So we're powering ahead here. They do get a communication out, that there's dinosaurs everywhere. She'll probably destroy Madison Square Garden. And they get their request from the military, but we've got 6 minutes to get out before it all blows up.
Right. How long it takes for these fucking F-15s to turn up, is it?
Yeah, they were just fucking there 5 minutes ago, though.
They were.
Blowing up Godzilla on the bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
The fuck have they been doing to get 6 minutes away?
Refueling.
Yeah. Shut up, Practical Willy.
Sorry. Not sure about that.
I think they're refueling. Fuck off. No.
I'll fucking refuel afterwards.
Refuel you in a minute.
Serious
dear
business.
Me. it's getting a bit too Jurassic Park as our gang of assholes running around everywhere, being chased around.
Jean Reno on a bag of wet socks.
Yeah.
The problem we've got as well here is that because there's so much moving parts and there's so many things, like there's so many fucking like mini Godzillas running around, and this really starts to expose the CGI, all this fucking movement.
Oh man, when they're in the well lit foyer,
yeah, it's
and
not
you can
a good
just
idea,
see so much
it?
Going on. They're just stood around like video game enemies waiting to be triggered.
Yeah. It's like Turok, mate, it's what it is.
Yeah, dull.
Yeah.
Naff.
At this point, I'm like, can't be too long left.
Oh, mate.
Fucking press pause and it's like another 25 minutes. It's
And Jean Reno and co. managed to escape the building by shooting out the chandeliers, which gives them a bit of a spook, because... Many Godzillas have never seen chandeliers before.
No, I mean, no one who's ever been to fucking Madison Square Garden's ever seen chandeliers before. Shall I tell you why? Because there's no fucking chandeliers in Madison Square Garden.
I think I lost them.
Showing a good laser track on top of the garden, selecting LGB.
How much time do we have left?
Less than 30 seconds.
Oh, God.
You mean when you try to like do a vertical suplex and like the feet hit the chandelier?
Yeah.
No fucking good, is it?
Yeah. It is a well known architectural design of Madison Square Garden, the chandeliers in the middle of it.
Absolutely.
Fucking shit.
Yeah. So I think they zip wire themselves out of Madison Square Garden like 2 seconds to spare before the whole fucking place explodes.
Yep.
So there goes that landmark as well, if you can call it a landmark.
Yep. Like, no one gets hurt.
No. There's a couple of things I love about this. Mm. Like, well, three actually.
Yep.
Number one, it gets blown up when they're literally outside it. They'd all die. Number two, there's no fire. Like, as soon as it blows up, it's just like, there's no fire at all. And number three, when they have the big wide of the damage to it, it's just like, you're like, big, jagged, fucking, like, cartoon-style fucking nonsense. Sort it out, Roland.
And we discover there's a load of dead baby Godzillas outside that have been killed from the blast, which is sad.
Yes.
No, poor killer dinosaurs. Yeah.
And I suppose that might be the end of the film.
Well, you would have thought so, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. But no.
Oh, wait a minute. That Toho contract's coming back.
Fucking damn right. Is it the same one?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay, because I just assumed it was two.
The one that got blown away in the sea?
Yeah.
No, I thought it was a different one.
I thought there was two.
Well, yeah.
You joking?
No.
There's a mummy and a daddy.
That's what I thought. Because
we didn't really cover it earlier on, but Matthew Broderick goes on this whole thing about it being asexual.
Yeah, it does reproduce asexually, yeah. You know when it's underwater and it gets against the harbour wall and it starts scratching so that all that concrete dust goes everywhere and you don't actually see it...
Wait, you got pregnant from a concrete dust?
Oh, Wilson. You don't see it get directly hit, you just see an explosion and then you see it kind of knocked out.
It floats away, doesn't it?
Yeah, but you don't see the muscles directly hit it. That's what the dust is for.
Right.
Come on.
Ah, it's fucking poor, that.
Come on, lads.
It's not great, though, is it?
It's not hard to read a Roland Emmerich film.
Well.
Mummy and Daddy.
It's fucking pony. I like it. Do you like it?
What?
Is it bullshit?
That being asexual?
Well, no, just the fact that there's fucking, like, how did it survive that? I'm not having that.
It's a big monster.
Well, it might be a big monster, Dave, but...
Iguanas can reproduce asexually.
I'm not doubting the asexual aspect.
I've had them in captivity for 15 years, isolated, and a female iguana got pregnant with 15 young, all male, which then impregnated her and they had more babies.
Why do you know so much about iguanas?
Wikipedia, mate.
It's what you do on your nights.
You just read about weird lizards, don't you?
Well, I suppose you do, yeah. Mm. Oh, well, anyway, so there we go.
Sorry for being fucking prepared.
No, you're right. You've done your research, Dave. You've done your research. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so basically the exact same shit that happened 45 minutes ago happens again.
Yeah. But this time, it's a taxi versus a dinosaur instead.
Yellow cab!
Yeah. What can you say about this sequence again? It's like...
Well, we watched it 45 minutes ago.
Sluggish. It should be way more exciting, but it's just not.
I'm excited by the suspension on that taxi, though.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's like... This scene is like playing Mario Kart on the 50cc mode. You're going so fucking slow that there's no way you can... Well, you're going to win, no matter
just
what.
Just leisurely watching people overtake you.
It's like on the easy setting.
And we get into some seriously fucking stony waters with the Japanese guys and their list of requirements here.
Yeah.
At the end, well, as we're sort of at the end now.
Don't forget this contrivance where he throws the taxi's GPS number thing out the window and it just happens to land in the lap of the military guy who's sort of all right. And then they go to a taxi company and then they can get in touch with him and coordinate efforts to go to the bridge.
I don't even remember that bit. Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not really worth remembering, is it? I mean, the long and the short of it is that they shoot the shit out of Godzilla on the bridge.
Yeah, they trap him in a bridge wise, don't they?
And Godzilla definitely dies here, which is a contractual issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because although we take the piss, I quite liked the little moment where you can hear Godzilla's heartbeat stopping. And then his eyes shut. Well, it's definitely dead, isn't it? So it definitely breaks
that contract. But they do meet the contractual obligation because he doesn't die because there's an egg at the end.
Yeah.
But that's not, like, the contract wasn't for Godzilla's egg to survive. The contract was for Godzilla not to be killed.
Well, they interpreted it as Godzilla as a concept to survive. Fucking bullshit. But yeah, so he gets tagged out on a bridge. And then we get everyone's lovely little sort of masochistic story arcs and relationships.
Can I just pull it back a bit, when it's dying, you know, it's about to fall to the ground.
Yep.
And you've got that fucking dork Matthew Broderick looking up it. And there's this moment where you can kind of like see in his eyes, it's a, oh, what if the humans are the bad guys?
Yeah, what if it was Beauty killed the beast?
Yeah.
Get fucked.
So they do that, and then they literally have 10 minutes of all the humans celebrating afterwards. It's like,
yeah.
Well...
direct hit, but the target is still moving, sir.
We'll circle around and fire again!
What is he trying to say? What's the film trying to say here, you know?
Is he just trying to depress me? Am I to blame?
Mm-hmm. Yes. But, you know.
Well, not me personally, I mean, you know.
No, you personally are to blame.
Mm-hmm.
It's your fault, 9-year-old Rob Yeomans.
Your maths isn't very good. Well, actually, no. Do you know what? Your maths is actually just about correct. This film came out on May the 20th, 1998, which was the day before my 10th birthday, so I guess technically you're right. The bit is my fault.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, go see this at the cinema. Not as bad as when it was my fucking 16th birthday and we went to see the big release at the time, which was fucking Van Helsing.
Oh, what a treat.
Yeah. Wait, don't forget, I'm born in October, so the amount of fucking Saw and Paranormal Activity films that have been my birthday film over years.
Yeah, and you decided to get away from that by picking a Paranormal Activity film to watch on the podcast.
Yeah,
because it was free.
It was on Netflix.
Do you know what?
Thank you very much.
Do you know what I started doing? Like, prior to every recording session, I've gone through Netflix to see what's on the horror section. I'll be like, ooh, wonder if Wilson will pick that up.
ooh, colour me surprised.
Yeah. Hell surprise. Maybe he'll stretch to Amazon Prime this time.
Fucking hell. Easy.
So, we're going to jump back in time to 1954 a little bit.
Okay. That is a leap.
That is a bit of a leap, yeah. So the original film is about an American-made nuclear monster.
Yes.
That does breathe nuclear fire.
Yes.
Kills a lot of people.
It does.
Destroys a city. And the only guy that can sort it out is a really cynical, miserable, suicidal, depressive scientist who's made this weapon called an oxygen destroyer.
Yeah.
That can literally evaporate all of the oxygen and hydrogen out of its body. That's the only way to kill it, is to basically just completely evaporate it.
Yeah.
And to do that, he has to basically take his own life and switch the device on whilst he's underwater with it and basically kill himself. But nearly all of Japan's been destroyed. Everyone's mutated from the radiation. Everyone's fucking miserable and depressed. That's what the film was.
Yeah.
And then there's this. See, the original needed this, for sure.
Yeah, it definitely did. It's good because there's a bit of fire now. It's fire in the music video, but none of the fires in the film happen. Like, shit just explodes, and then instantly there's no fire.
Mm-hmm. But it is raining. It is raining, actually.
It is raining.
Yeah.
So, basically, what you're saying is this is quite far from the original concept, really.
Just tonally and everything about it, the fact that what really upset the Japanese about it, and Toho specifically, was that obviously the first film is a reaction to what is still... It's 1954, so this is 10 years after World War II, essentially. Yeah. And the American nuclear testing off the coast of Japan,
yeah,
which basically did spawn a small generation of mutated, handicapped children,
yeah,
and whatnot, which was quite a big issue. The blame has been shifted to Jean Reno and, like, five French people.
However, and I do have to take issue with... What's the name of the Japanese company that made these films?
Toho.
Toho, mm-hmm. Right. Toho are a bunch of fucking idiots. Because if you're going to be selling your rights to your Godzilla franchise to an American production company...
Twice now.
they're not going to fucking go, do you know what? Yeah. Let's accurately represent the fact that we mutated a generation of your children. Yeah, it's probably not going to happen, is
it? Yeah, yeah.
So maybe they just need to be less fucking stupid.
Yeah. But you can see how it would, if when it came to Japanese shores, especially, I think it's a Sony film as well.
Mm. Right, yeah.
They were thoroughly kind of upset by it, and I think revisions of the home video version, they've changed the subtitles for Jean Reno's character to say it was the American still.
Yeah,
just
I mean,
to make a pass at it. Because yeah,
but I'm afraid when you sell your rights to America to make a film,
yeah,
look, it's not gonna. They're not gonna fucking hold.
No, I'm fully understanding that it was bound to happen. Yeah. There's no way that couldn't happen, sort of thing. It's just, yeah, and ultimately, we are talking about a rubber monster film.
Yeah, we are. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. True that.
But yeah, it's. It is a guilty pleasure, though, I think.
Oh, yeah.
It's only when it comes to the third act you kind of regret putting it on.
Yeah. There are things that I enjoyed about it, that it is a so bad it's sort of okay-ish situation. I'm not going to go as far as to say so bad it's good.
Mm-hmm. But the stuff with the military and Godzilla is very... Yeah. It's quite funny.
I was largely not bored.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is very high praise.
Yeah.
For you.
Thank you.
Grumbling around.
Thank you.
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Thank you.
It's just his thing now.
Yeah. Grumbly. Grumbly Rob.
I don't quite know how to take that coming from you, Wilson. I'll be honest. So there we go. I guess that was Godzilla, wasn't it,
guess
really?
That was Godzilla, yeah. Yeah. Wilson.
Are we serving it up?
Shovel me some popcorn.
Oh, my God. Shove me timbers.
Yep. Third rating, I'm going to go for... I'm changing my mind from what I've got written down.
Did you have written down?
4.
Okay.
I think I might go... 5-ish.
Okay.
Okay. Mid-range.
Nice man. Very nice man.
It's just a very weird middle-of-the-road blockbuster, which... Mm-hmm. For the time, it was perfectly fine. I mean, I saw this on NTO box office.
Oh,
yeah,
old school.
Old school, back in the day.
Front row, mate, front row. Oosh.
Oh, yeah.
Channel 51.
Oh, yeah. It was front row. Went the diamond cable, wasn't it?
Fucking right, it was.
Yeah. Cable and wireless.
Oh, yes. I've seen it when I was younger and a few times since then, and it's... enjoyable enough in places. It just feels like when it comes especially to the human side of a film, the whole thing is badly miscast. And the script isn't strong enough when it comes to that sort of thing as well.
Yeah.
But the problem is Roland Emmerich is quite clearly obsessed with making fun of like military types and all the rest. But the characters that he needs in order to get that point across aren't strong enough. So you do get like weird subtext where, like I said, at the end, he wants you to think, oh, is it the military that are very bad? You know, is it humans that are the real monsters?
He's very good at the macho flip.
Yeah.
Which he does in Stargate with James Spader. Just kind of, he's so wacky and kooky, the military just kind of, they do something silly, and then the military sigh in the background,
sort of
thing, and it happens again in Independence Day, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just, he tries to do that flip, but I just don't think there's enough there to make it work. In terms of popcorn, I'd probably say, I'll stick with my 6, I reckon, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously a bit of nostalgia comes into play as well, you know.
Yeah, because the hype around it at the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Factor that in.
Yeah. It was inescapable, and I think it did make money, but it was considered a flop because the way it built itself up back in the day, people legitimately thought it would become the biggest film of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it only, in quotation marks, made...
Mm-hmm.
What was it, like 300 million or something like that?
Yeah.
It basically, it made its money back, but they were expecting it to do Titanic money.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
That's what it felt like. Yeah. So, I mean, it's one of those where not many, where the marketing's probably better than the film.
Yeah, the marketing is great, and I did, you know, the Google Time Warp thing you can do?
Oh, yeah, you love that, don't you?
You can look back at old websites, and I went back and looked at the Godzilla website, official Godzilla website from 98, and fuck me, like, there's animated GIFs of Godzilla just roaring at the screen, and then there's, like, a little radar thing with a Godzilla head on it and some tuna fish going towards each other. It's fucking beyond naff. It's incredible.
I wish the internet was still like that. Just still fucking shit. Naff, yeah.
No one knows what to do with this.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Do you remember... you will have been to Ramsden's as a kid.
Of course.
Do you remember on the bottom floor, before the escalators, they had their new video releases?
Yep.
So when the X-Files was big, they had just... hundreds of X-Files tapes.
Yeah.
What I liked about Godzilla was it got me into the franchise as a whole.
Mm.
Because they re-released all 32, I think, of the original franchise films on video with, like, specific brand. I think I've got a few over there. And I went with my grandma once. She was expecting me to buy Power Ranger toys, but I think I bought 5 films instead.
Mm.
Really got into those. Used to watch those with my dad. So in that sense, I can't really fault the media hype for it.
Yeah.
Because it got me into that franchise.
Yeah.
And it got my dad back into it from when he was a kid sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, Rob, I'll let you deal some...
Oh, yeah.
...delights.
So, turds.
Oof.
I mean, it's fairly smelly, this, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
It is.
It's a summer afternoon manure pile.
Yeah. I'm going to go with a 6.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with a 6 on the turds. Because it is, you know, I mean, it's pretty... It stretches the upper limits of what is acceptable levels of ridiculousness.
Mm-hmm. Popping corns?
6 again. I'm going to agree with Wilson.
Okay.
Because it is a borderline shitter. But it is entertaining, isn't it? I can't honestly say to you now that I'm not going to watch this again. Because...
Exactly, yeah.
I probably will at some point.
I think when I get a 4K player, I will invest in that Blu-ray and see what the CGI looked like in the edit suite. Because I'm really curious. Yeah,
interested to see that, sure. Yeah. How about you, Dave?
Turds, I'm going to go with a 7.
Yeah, it's pretty turdy.
Yeah. The stuff with Godzilla itself is okay.
Yeah.
I think I like the bigger city set pieces, like with the cars bobbing up and down.
Yeah.
I like New York as a character, always like that. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles does it as well. Love it. But as soon as you're having a good time, it cuts back to just people either fucking about, making jokes, drinking coffee and not enjoying it, or Matthew Broderick just kind of staring wide-eyed like he's on horse tranks and then being fed his lines through an earpiece.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, she took it. Yeah.
It just drags it. The 10% of it is a great thrill ride.
For sure.
I think. Yeah. But like I say, every time it just goes back to something else.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Popcorns. 5.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
I think it's fair. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like, it's kind of fairly indicative of the film that, even by our sort of very unique scoring system, it is very middle of the road.
It's just dog-eared down the middle, isn't it? I think if I wasn't watching it with Eleanor, who was making a side jokes for the existing jokes in the film, it wouldn't have been particularly enjoyable. I might not have made it to the end.
For sure.
Out of just kind of like, well, I vaguely remember this enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there we go.
There we go. Sweet. So, I suppose we should pick what them next picks is.
Mm. Well, we're staying in order, aren't we?
We're staying in order, yeah.
So, it's Chris Wilson in the chair next.
Oh, wow. Well, me first. Well, earlier on, I asked you to pick a number between 2 and 4 because I couldn't decide which Jaws film we should finally talk about.
Oh, well, fucked it, I know.
You've really fucked
3D.
It. You picked 3. Jaws 3D.
I've picked where it just kind of stopped being serious, but it's not funny enough to be funny yet.
Correct.
I should have picked 4.
Yeah, Michael Caine's in 4.
Better luck next time.
Oh yeah, he is. And Mrs. What's her face has a psychic connection to the shark.
Correct.
Is 3 the Dennis Quaid one? Oh, is that four
that's
as well?
Four, yeah.
Oh, you should have picked four.
Mate, four. Four, come on, four.
No, wait, we've done it now, haven't we?
Fucked it.
Yep.
Fucked it.
Boy.
Well, sulk.
And your choice after that then, Rob?
Well, it's only going to get worse from here. Because I suspected on this week, on this round of picks, that we've all kind of like picked films that, you know, we've enjoyed a little bit, you know, we've not had a terrible time with any of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that shit's ended.
Oh, no.
I'm afraid. So what I've done is I've gone statistical on this.
Okay. And is this going to be something that's actually not so bad it's good, or laughable it's going to be just dog shit?
Yeah, basically, I think so, yeah. So I went onto IMDb, and this film is statistically the worst film that can be selected for this podcast on IMDb.
Oh, no, I think I know what it is.
It is the lowest rated horror remake or sequel on IMDb. It is the film that killed the career of John Boorman. It is Exorcist 2, The Heretic.
Oh! Is that the one with James Earl Jones in it? Just yes. Like a tribal leader?
Yes.
Fuck.
Yes.
Oh. You fucker.
Follow that.
Oh.
And for you, Dave, what's your next film?
Oh.
I've killed him.
I've avoided it for so long.
Reboot Dave. Reboot him. He's pregnant.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, you absolute... I need to reevaluate this friendship.
Part of the podcast, though, isn't it?
No. You miserable fuck. Right. I'm going to give you an option.
Oh, this is new.
Because I got two in my head.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. We can go... Brilliant, black and white 40s horror film.
Okay.
Or we can go 90s... Sorry, the 40s film was a sequel.
Right.
Or we can go 90s sort of soft reboot territory, straight to video, but redeemable.
I don't know. What do you think?
Talk amongst yourselves, because I can't decide between the two.
Hmm.
I like them both. Obviously, that doesn't help you.
Yeah.
But...
The 90s one when it came to
Yeah, 90s. Let's go 90s.
Cool. So it is Night of the Living Dead remake.
Oh, that's on my list of
Tom Savini
potential picks. Good choice.
Which is, it's okay.
It's very interesting.
It's better than the 2000s one with Sid Haig.
Yes.
Which was Night of the Living Dead 3D, I think.
Let's not go there.
Fuck that absolute train wreck.
Yeah. Tell you what I watched recently on Netflix.
What did you watch recently on Netflix?
I watched the new Leatherface.
All right, I thought you were going to say Day of the Dead.
Didn't even know it existed until I went on Netflix.
Yeah.
Could have done without it existing.
Came out last year, didn't it?
Yeah. Frankly, so it made about 75p at the box office. I mean, I don't think I'm actually that far exaggerating that.
Get me some stats, mate.
I'll get you stats, mate.
Statistics, mate.
Statistics, hang on. Yeah, talk amongst yourself for just 1 second.
So.
Dun, dun, dun.
Two Godzillas.
Here we go.
It was a mummy and a daddy, I'm telling you.
We both thought it.
No, fucking hell.
So Stephen Dorff's in it. And it made $921,697 at the box office.
Oh, Entity made more than that, mate.
Fuck a doodle do.
How much did it cost?
It doesn't say on here. I don't think they want to admit to it. So there we go.
Oh,
but it's not
man.
Very good. But it is better than that Texas Chainsaw 3D.
Right. Which one's the origin one? Is it just Texas Chainsaw it's called?
No, Texas Chainsaw follows directly on, allegedly, from the first original film. But then there's a smartphone in it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And you can't ignore Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Well, that is a very interesting... There's some very interesting entries into the Texas Chainsaw Panther
Please
in
don't
general.
Ever. I can't sit through Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 again.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No.
Good to hear.
I will not rewatch it for this podcast.
I think on that bombshell.
Absolute agony.
Yeah. I quite liked it.
Oh, fuck off.
Right.
Better see us out before.
Send the zone, Dave.
Yeah, before we go hit to our mark again.
Cool. Well, it is bye bye from Christopher.
Bye.
Still can't hack it.
It's
bye bye from Rob Jones.
Goodbye, Dave Walker.
And it is goodbye from me.
I'm going to see what happens when you kick this mic stand over. Oh. Whoa.
You guys, I'm going out.
Yeah.
I want to go to bed.
Bye!
Don't forget, you can follow us and keep up with all our updates, regular updates, possibly, maybe, hopefully, if Wilson gets his arse in gear, at Cinemortuary on Twitter, / Cinemortuary on Facebook, and of course, at Cinemortuary on Instagram. I don't know how you do pictures of podcasts, but we're going to do that anyway.